Thank you for tuning in to the Compassionate Capitalist Show. I know your ears are busy, your time is precious, and I just have to say, it means so much when I find out that you've listened to my show, you found value in it, and I love it when you comment on the show, when you share it with other people, because you know, we're all about growing this compassionate capitalist movement and changing our world to be more compassionate while we strive to make money and create wealth and leave a legacy. And today we're celebrating International Women's Day. And it's really exciting for those of us pioneering and activist women that are striving to not only improve ourselves, but improve the world and bring a whole lot of other women and those that are disadvantaged in that process along with us. And within the Compassionate Capitalist Show, we like to showcase other folks, women and men, you know, all along that are aligned with my values of compassionate capitalism and aligned with uplifting others to learn how to create wealth through entrepreneurism. And what do you have to do to be able to be highly successful in that? And if you don't have the time and the risk to be an entrepreneur, then you get to be an investor in an entrepreneur. And that's the second best way to create wealth in this world. So today, as we honor International Women's Day, as well as the month, the entire month, a whole month of March is Women's Month, at least in America. And so I went back into the archives and found my podcast of one of the people that I just am kind of in awe of, because she just is a mover and a shaker and you know, takes no prisoners and just lives life by her own rules. And I thought it was really important to be able to look back on this particular show, because even though it's out of the archives of, it's out of the vault, if you will, of the Compassionate Capitalist Show, it is still so relevant today. And the person that I interview in this upcoming segment, Heather Havenwood, is she's the sexy boss, right? And I admire her so much because she is totally comfortable in her skin. And she just really is all about empowering women and redefining how their rules for business and money apply to them, because so many of these rules were written by men. They were written by the white patriarchy, and we have been playing their rules for a long time. And in the last couple of years, that has changed a little bit. But it's definitely going in the right direction. And when I was listening back to this show, it was really compelling because I love Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It has put me on the right track more than once when I had stinking thinking or was off in the woods somewhere. And she put something in total perspective about why women should be okay with owning their sexuality, not flaunting it, not losing it or using it, but just really own who you are as a woman, however you define yourself. You know, if you are a woman or if you define yourself as a woman, then own it. And be comfortable in it, because in the world of the male patriarchy, the white male patriarchy that we operate in, they respect that if you own it in the right way. And we talk a little bit about this in this podcast when we talk about what is a sexy boss. So we're going to talk about ownership of your thoughts, the real definition of sexy, particularly in the workplace, not caring if people think you are a biatch, and then how do you create a world-class brand as a woman entrepreneur? And it applies to all business owners that are listening to this, but really specifically to women entrepreneur. And I've done other segments with women talking about raising capital or pitching for investors or whatever. And this one, in this case with Heather, we just really get down to the brass tacks of what does it mean to operate in a man's world as a ambitious woman. So enjoy this, my little intro segment is coming up, and please go to KarenRanz.co to get more information about what I do for entrepreneurs to help them achieve and get the capital they need, as well as for investors so they don't make the stupid mistakes that I have prevented hundreds of investors from making that will lose your money in a blink of an eye when you invest in an entrepreneur. I've got a proven system for identifying the red flags, and so I help investors avoid those red flag deals. And just so you know, the website to go to get all the information for Heather is heatherhavenwood.com/media, heatherhavenwood.com/media, and you can get all kinds of information from her and excerpts and all kinds of good stuff on her website. So with that, onwards and upwards. Happy International Women's Day. Welcome to the Compassionate Capitalist Radio Show with host Karen Ranz. A compassionate capitalist is someone who invests their money into entrepreneur endeavors to bring innovation to the market and create wealth for all those involved. Karen shares insights and best practices for entrepreneurs to succeed and investors to share in that success without all the risks. And now. Welcome to the Compassionate Capitalist Podcast Radio. Of course, this is where we bring together entrepreneurs and investors to teach them best practices, share the best practices for launching and growing successful entrepreneur endeavors that bring innovation to the market, create jobs, and create wealth for all those involved. I call it the Compassionate Capitalist Movement. And of course, I'm the host, Karen Ranz, and leader of that movement, and also the author of the best-selling book behind me, Inside Secrets to Angel Investing, which is a primer for investors to learn how to, you know, how to get involved and actually figure out how to help entrepreneurs succeed and make money while they're doing that. So, and I'm very excited because my guest today, serial entrepreneur Heather Havenwood, CEO of Havenwood Worldwide LLC and Chief Sexy Boss, joins me today on the podcast to talk about so many things. We're going to unpack here in just a few minutes, but I want to let you know that Heather is a highly regarded authority on internet marketing. And since marketing her first online business, bringing together clients and personal coaches back in 1999, she has played an active role in the world of online marketing. Havenwood has been dubbed the icon creator and the wizard behind the curtain by industry insiders, having instructed, coached, and promoted hundreds of successful entrepreneurs. She has produced and managed more than 350 seminars and events and hosted teleseminars with many top online business visionaries, including Tom Antion, Joe Sugarman, Tony Blake, and more. Before turning her energies to Sexy Boss, Havenwood coached men on how women think. With the launch of Sexy Boss Inc., she's turning the tables and teaching women how to play with the big boys in business. Havenwood is the author of Sexy Boss, How the Empowerment of Women is Changing the Rulebook for Money, Success, and Sex. And it is the framework for her coaching program that helps women overcome their fears of launching a business, achieving their full potential, and to set the stage for phenomenal success from the very start. Build your business, build your wealth, live your dream. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Do you ever get that when someone introduces you? You're like, whoa, that's me.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, who are they talking about? Like, God, that girl sounds cool. Oh, I'm an overachiever, right? So one of those people, like, I just keep going. And then when sometimes tell people go, oh, you did all this. I'm like, I did. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've had that experience or not, but.
I do.
It's not ego. It's very more like, oh, that girl sounds cool. Oh, that's me. And then like, there's never enough, right? That's my overachievement. But thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I really appreciate it. I love what you're doing. So I feel like being here is really supporting you and your mission and what you're creating. Because I do feel like there's more and more men and women helping people really create entrepreneurs is really imperative. And I'm in Austin, Texas, and that's kind of the mecca of that. I see mini mecca, as San Francisco would say.
Yeah.
So excuse me, San Francisco. But yeah, it really is becoming a mini mecca of entrepreneurship. So thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Absolutely. A lot of times I'll go through and we'll talk about my guest's journey and how you got to where you are. We're going to touch on that a little bit, but sure. I really want to just tell people to go to your websites because you have so much information there available. You have a lot of content when it comes to videos and your podcast that you've been doing for so long. Your podcast is highly successful and highly ranked. So I want to encourage people to go to sexybossinc.com and you'll learn more about what she offers through that here in a few minutes. And then of course, heatherhavenwood.com. as her name, and you can get a lot of her background and understand, you know, all about where you're coming from, and because I really wanted to dig into our topics and the time that we have here today. So out of your book, I've picked four of the areas that I think will lead into this concept that, you know, this where I think what we're talking about is really, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. So back when I was going through the corporate world of, you know, paving my way, right? There was this always this discussion of breaking the glass ceiling. And I think that's an old term that people don't really use anymore, but it's still, and it used to really just a lot applied to corporate world. But now we see as this rise of women in entrepreneurism, even though we're still a very much a minority, right. There's other, I'm not sure what the barriers are. We don't really call them glass ceilings because it's really, it's not so much that there's somebody at the top that's keeping us from doing it. Because as entrepreneurs, we stand on our own 2 feet and we stand on the shoulders of the team that we build. And so this really just as high as we can go within ourselves, right? So the four things we're going to talk about, and then I'm going to ask you my question. Taking total ownership over your thoughts, the real definition of sexy, not caring if people think you're a biatch. Branding yourself with class, which is influence is another word that I use as part of that.
Yeah.
So with my set the stage here of this glass ceiling, you having coached men and understanding women.
Yeah.
What made you decide to turn the tables? Because you have, there's a quote that you had on your site that says, before she was a sexy boss, her skills were stunted only by her unwillingness to stop complaining about perceived limitations and wishing her proverbial ship would come in. So you turned your ship. Tell us why you decided to do that and what, you know, and I think it was 2012 when you wrote your book. So
yeah.
That was before the Me Too movement. So
it was before the Me Too movement. And I got a lot of, can I say the word SHIT on here? I got a lot of crap for it, basically, for the book. A couple reasons. I had people come up to me and say, you know, women don't want to be the sexy and the boss, or you can't be sexy and the boss. You only the boss, you can't be sexy. All kinds of weird stuff like that. I had men say, come up to me and say, I don't think women want to be a sexy boss. This one particular person said that to me and I literally was like, really? Because I know your wife. She would not say that. I know who runs your household. So I know too much about you for you to say that to me. So I think one of the things that I'm seeing right now, today's world, is that yes, women are kind of getting this conversation. We're allowed to have a voice, but here's something that's kind of interesting, Karen. We are now getting permission to have a voice. There's truth in that. Mm-hmm. But there's been such a lack of understanding how to use the voice that the voice in many cases is getting drowned out by sounding like complaining. Right. And it's just like almost this kind of like a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old kind of coming out now and like, I have a voice, you know, when the first time a 5 or 6-year-old figures out they can talk and someone's actually listening to them, they're like, what? I could control my parents. You know, that's the first like, kind of a childish way right now. And what I see is missing is what I call really helping women become leaders and stepping into being a leader and using the voice to move something, to impact something, to take something beyond what they thought was possible, not a complaint of. now that there's space for us to, not to be esoteric on you, but just to go there for a second, not almost like a, like an opening of just tap, like opening of a space and saying, hey, I now can have a voice. What am I going to use it for? Am I going to use it to complain about the old structure, or am I going to use it to actually forward a conversation? Right. So like with you in the VC, you really moving something forward, like you're a stand for something, you're moving something forward. What's actually the impact of that? Well, now you paving that way for someone like myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's doing this with VC. I would love to be part of that community. You opened that doorway for me and provided kind of a safe harbor for me to ask questions and like lean in with that, you know? And that's one of the challenges I see for myself included. I mean, like I'm raising my hand too. If you can't see me, I'm raising my hand. I had to figure out, how do I bring my own ship in by myself? And the analogy I have with that is it's literally like a ship. Like, you know, I had to jump ship and I had to be on my own ship. That's kind of my analogy. I'm a Game of Thrones girl, so I feel like I feel like I'm Khaleesi on my own ship. Anyway, and I don't have my men yet. You know, I don't have my studs who are behind me. My little Khaleesi outfit there. But I mean, really, how do I do that? Because when you kind of own your own ship per se and say, this is the trail I'm on, people do begin to show up. It's the old adage, and I've said this many times before recently, like when you find your voice, your tribe will follow. But you got to find your voice, and you got to find a voice that you feel resonates within yourself, and it's not a complaint of. What's fascinating, in the last 24 hours, no kidding, this is just so true. Last 24 hours, I've had two conversations with men who've reached out to me. One I've known for many years and highly respect in a particular field. And he reached out to me and said, hey, I want to look at what that looks like to do a partner with you, because we're realizing there's like very few women in this one of our businesses. And I was like, well, yeah. And like, I've known that for a while. But it was like, okay, great. What does that look like? And he was like, I don't know. I just am realizing that we are really helping entrepreneurs and we're not helping women entrepreneurs at the level that we can. How can we work together? And it was kind of like, I don't know. I'm open to exploring what this looks like with you. And he was like, great, let's continue the conversation. And then I had one earlier today. He was like, you know, he's in blockchain. He said, we realized that we're pretty much doing all these conversations with men and there's this huge gap with women. And so I'm reaching out to you like, how can we work together to really help women come into blockchain? I'm like, I'm open. Let's figure that out too. So I can be a stand for more women to be interested and whatnot. Same thing to you, right? As what you're doing, what you're creating. So I think that's the change now. We have to go from complaining to actually impacting. And that's the shift we're in. We're kind of what I call in the middle of that shift.
Well, that probably leads into this idea of your thoughts. I know that was my biggest challenge when I was in the corporate world, was overcoming my thought, my cycle of thoughts that I had, and redoing my voice inside of how I perceived things and how I responded to yeah. issues or whatever was happening, and not take it like, you know, you talked about the about, you know, these, you know, like thinking of it as an obstacle,
yeah,
where it's really not an obstacle because it hadn't stopped you yet, right? It's not an obstacle till it's actually stopped you. And then you step back, you figure out how to get around it. But it's, mm-hmm. if it's a perception of an obstacle, it's not really an obstacle, right? And so,
yeah, I think another way to say what you're saying, just kind of restating it, is like, we are our worst enemy, right? So if we ever put our mind on loudspeaker all the time, it would sound really bad. You remember that old movie with, I forgot his name, Helen Hunt was in it. And there was the guy advertising exec, he all of a sudden can hear women's voices. He can actually hear what women think.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Mel Gibson was in it. And I love that movie because he was like, running in New York Park, right? And all these women are passing him just like running and being silent, but he can hear all the voices that they're saying to themselves. And, you know, the whole movie was about the fact that he could hear that. But one of the things I remember with that specific movie is that, you know, we are really hard on ourselves, and women are very hard on mm-hmm. ourselves. And we're very hard on other women too. way more than men will ever be. And I've talked about this before, and in my book is that we were not trained. We were not trained since, I don't know about you, where you come from, but I come from a Southern Houston, you know, got to be nice and cute and sweet and pretty all the time. And you, that's what you were rewarded. I was rewarded to be cute and sweet and nice.
My thing was not laugh too loud. It was a big part of it. It was unladylike to laugh loud. And I like to laugh.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. Cause yours is laugh. Mine was like having a voice and saying what I thought. And mine was like constantly be nice, not be nice, you know, and I love this story cause it's just, and I bet you have something similar, but it gives you an idea. And I tell women all this time, you're not really up against society. You're up against a social construct of what a woman is supposed to look and sound like that's been here for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So even though the Me Too movement's here, we're still up against generational conversations for thousands of years. Right?
Right, right.
And the story of that goes, just because it's so perfect. I was in second grade, right? Second grade. I'm like, what am I, 7 or something? And I had to go potty, right? I'm in the seat like a good little girl and I'm raising my hand and I'm waiting for Miss George. And I love Miss George. She was my babysitter sometimes during the weekend. So I'm like raising my hand, Miss George, Miss George. I don't know what she's doing. She's ignoring me. And I couldn't hold anymore and I pee in my pants. I pee right there. Cool. Right? Pee all over the floor. Now I'm embarrassed. Now I got to call my mom and get new clothes. Right, this whole thing. So I remember after hours of all that drama, we're sitting back in the room with my mother and Miss George. And Miss George looks at me all innocently and goes, sweetheart, you know, because I'm from Texas, sweetheart, why didn't you just go to the bathroom? And I said, but Miss George, you told me never to leave my seat without your permission. I'm confused. Which one is it? Well, for that kind of thing, you're allowed to. Well, now I'm confused, right? So in that moment, it's like, who do I listen to? What's right, what's wrong? I want to be a good girl because I'm rewarded for that, because I don't want to be a bad girl because I'm not rewarded for that. I'm actually shunned for that. So, but now I'm ashamed. I'm sitting here peeing in my pants, right? So which one is it? That's entrepreneurship right there, right? You want to go for something, but you're waiting for that permission. And then you don't do it. And then you feel ashamed that you didn't do it. And then boom, someone else did. You're like, what the hell? Well, why did you ask for permission? Because I was told to ask for permission since I was 6 years old to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? So I think that's what we're up against. And that's what I'm up against in my head every single day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We seek validation from external sources rather than internal, which I think, you know, I'm waiting to hear what your definition of sexy is. But
yes. Love that.
I think that as I've come to identify it is, it's confidence. I think sexy women are confident women and when it comes to being a CEO of a company, and it's what I've learned over the years when investors look at women that are asking for money, they really want to see their confidence because that's where they can trust them. Their employees can trust them because they know that they'll make a decision that's well thought of and follow through on it, but they have confidence to not second guess themselves and stuff. So is that fall in line with your definition of sexy, or is it, you know?
So my definition of sexy boss, like together, comes from actually two areas. So one of them, the boss area, is like being the boss of all areas of your life, health, wealth, spiritual, mental, physical, all of it, like really owning your life, being responsible for your life fully in all areas of your life. The sexy part comes from Think or Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, Chapter 7, Sex Transmutation, which if you look at, which is the number one underread chapter in the entire book.
Well, it's hard to wrap your head around. It's deep.
It's really deep. In fact, last night I was talking to a friend of mine and I was actually reading some of the book, the chapter to him, and he was like, that's deep, you know? but people don't read the book because the name sounds weird, Sex Transmutation. So I'm not going to go into philosophical with you, but I'll give you like a cliff note version of it. Basically, the sexual energy, which is the energy that we get to be God for a moment called We Get to Procreate. We create another human being. It's our moment where we create a human being on this planet, another spirit, right? So what are the possibilities of sexual sensual energy, the sexual energy, the life force in us is being able to create worlds and business and creation. And he talks about no great artist or you know, inventor or musician they all had high sexual energy, high life force. They had to, because it's completely connected to a higher self. It's what I call downloads or how infinite intelligence or God or however you want to like spiritualize that. Right. But most of the inventions, I'm talking like massive inventions or Steve Jobs, I can go into today's world, right? Or, you know, Einstein, all of it. Einstein talks about he got thoughts, he got things, he got flashes of information. It didn't come from his brain. It came from a different intelligence. That's the sexual energy. That's been what I call honed or allowed out with men. Right? We call that charismatic energy. When a man walks in the room, he's like, who's that guy? Hello. You know, woo, who's that guy? You know, there's an energy to that person. He has a life force, the sexual energy. We call that charismatic. With a woman, when she has that life force, when she steps into a room and she's like, hello, I own this, like J-Lo, love J-Lo. She might be considered in a business setting, corporate setting, as a biatch, or how dare she, or tone it down, or don't be so like that, or we don't like your dress. Whatever it comes out as, it's the sexual energy, it's a life force that is really high that people don't like because it's confronting for them, because most people have shut that part of them down. But it's actually the creation. It's the piece that all entrepreneurs and artists and creators and inventors and artists, all those people need to be able to tap into. That's the sexy part. And I can't say that, and I can't create a book called Sex Transmutation. That would like never work, right? But Sexy Boss is saying, yeah, I'm restating that entire book, that entire chapter in my book.
Oh, yes.
Without saying, I mean, I do point it out, like I give credit to the book, right? But if you read the book, it's very he, because it wasn't. It was written in the 30s.
Yeah. Well, then that kind of leads into that whole idea of perception as a biatch, right?
Yeah.
Is it because of that men are threatened by that sexiness, that they own their selves and their presence in the space, and so they go to that thing versus being actually sexually attracted to them?
So I'll take it to a different direction. Yes and no, right? Great question, by the way. I love your questions because they're like really good. So a couple things with that. So I'll speak esoterically. So Beyonce and J-Lo and Madonna, these are big names in the artist's world, right? I call them all sexy bosses. They've owned who they are. They're creators in themselves. They're definitely sexy bosses in the connection, right? But look at them. They're artists. It's allowed in that space. They're musicians. They're artists. They're dancers. You can be sexy. You put that in the corporate world. You put that in the corporate room, in the boardroom. No. Right? That's what I'm talking about. It's like, how do you transfer that sexual energy, allow that out, that power out in the corporate boardroom in such a way that people don't try to kill it off or they can get behind it and support it? That's a transition we're in right now. How do women walk into a room and own the space and say, I own who I am, I own my voice, I own my words, without being a bitch or coming across that way, without being like castrating other people, but with actually coming from a place of love and contribution and value and a voice. I mean, how do you do that? And honestly, that's been my journey. I'm now at a place where I can walk into any room like that and have a voice in the matter. And whatever their response is, I'm like, awesome. You know, I just 6 months ago, I had a conversation with somebody on accident, and he walked up right up to me and said, Heather, I'll tell you why you have no value with us and why you haven't been invited to any of the masterminds, because he's had these masterminds for 10 years. And I finally called him out on it. And he said, the reason why you haven't been invited is because you have no value. You help women entrepreneurs. There's no value in that. That was like 6 months ago. He said that to my face, in my eyes. And I looked at him and I smiled really big. And I was like, thank you. And I walked away because what I got from that was, thank you. Thank you for finally saying what's been there for you for 10 years. I knew that was there, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Right. And so it was like, thank you for finally showing me who you are. Thank you. Because now that I know who you are, I can, what I said, acknowledge it, but not accept it in my life.
Right.
Right. And I just saw him the other day at an event. I see him all the time. Right. And so I just now know who he is. I know where he stands in the matter. Right. It's like when you find out someone politically, like you know where they stand. You can make them wrong. You can kill them off. You can tell them how horrible they are, Trump supporters or whatever they are, not a matter. Or you can go, okay, I know where you stand and that you're not supportive of me. And that's where women really need to get to. When they can finally see where people stand versus like, how dare they stand on that side of the room or that side of the fence or that side of the viewpoint and just accept it. However, don't have to accept it in their life. That's the difference.
It kind of goes back to the comment you made earlier about the validation of yourself. And so where I was talking about where it's, and so when you see a person for their true colors and you acknowledge that you may have thought that was an obstacle because you had to be part of that mastermind group. And then you come to realize, well, no, I can go create my own mastermind group with really great people that can achieve the success that he's doing over here. I don't need his validation. I don't need him to help me be successful. I can do that on my own. I think a lot of women, I mean, as a whole, I mean, I've been connecting with women on LinkedIn here lately that are starting this, Black Girls Who Code, or, you know, they're starting all these different things where they just said, you know, like you have been saying, I don't need your permission. I can go and do this on my own. And when you have that realization and you stop playing that tape in your head that you need somebody else's validation or need this, like another boss or something like that, and you can be your own sexy boss, then that's when you break free. There's really nothing that can stop you. It's just a matter of how do you get it done?
Yeah. It's when you, I call it when you're give yourself full permission to fail is when you give yourself full permission to succeed.
Yeah.
And that right there is hard for women. Most women are perfectionists. They got to get things right. They got to know. And just to give you an idea of that. So it's been shown that women in relationships, like you might call man-woman relationships or whatever, romantic relationships, okay, they have to know. They love through knowing. They do the same thing in business. They have to know. They got to know the path. They got to know the path. They got to know the path. Men don't. Men love through wondering and like kind of exploration of. They do that in business too. Like they fall in love with a business or they choose a business or they choose down a path of a business because they're like discovering and wondering. And so we do business differently, just like we love differently. Right. So that's the challenge is women like need permission. Right. And that's the thing. I feel like if I could cut anything through, it's like, stop asking for permission. My next book is Unapologetically Fierce. That's the next book I'm focused on. And it's like, that's all about that.
Yeah.
But even though, I mean, my mother's no longer on this planet and it's me and my sister and that's it. And, my dad's not in my life, but I still hear, he was very negative towards women. He did not like women. He hated women actually. So I still hear his voice, you know, the negative. So you can't do that. You're a woman. You're not supposed to be an entrepreneur. Your job is to basically get married and have babies. That's it. Period. I mean, I was bred to breed. That was, you know, I was bred to be a Baptist woman in Houston and breed. So like, that's what I was bred. I'm doing none of that, but I mean, you know, so that was the path I was supposed to be choosing. Right. And I'm going in this left field. And when you have people in your life who are your family call you and go, hey, I heard you're being an entrepreneur. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. Aren't you an entrepreneur, uncle? And he's like, well, yeah, but I'm a man, you know, and stuff like that. You're like, where do you get that permission? Yeah. You get it within yourself. You have to look in the mirror and go, I give yourself permission to succeed. And even when for me, it was boyfriends and ex-boyfriends and now 3 ex-fiancés all said, you know, we love how powerful you are, but now that we're together, you need to stop.
Yes. So, okay, we got a few more minutes here and I want to just touch on it while we can. about branding yourself. So
yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Sorry. So esoteric on you.
Yeah, no, that's good. And this is, you know, it's used to be, you know, you joined the Rotary or the Chamber or something like that. You sort of established your influence and, but in this, you know, in this world of the internet, you're not just your community unless you're, you know, something that only your customers come from your community. If you go beyond anything beyond your community, if you want to try to create a world-class business, then you must have a world-class brand and influence. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. If you're a small, this is a big one. If you are a small business today, you have to step into being a media company, period. And that's bad news or good news. Okay. And media company means to be able to go from expert to influence. There's a bridge now happening.
Yeah.
People don't really want experts. They want influencers in the field. Right. So maybe my eye doctor is an expert, but who do we really want? We want the eye doctor that's an influencer in the eye doctor space, right? Or whatever. Right. So how do you make that transition? And how you make that transition is you step into your voice and start to have say in the matter, have opinion about it, have context in the matter, create content. Let's put it in layman's terms, create content. Right? So the more content you put out there in the world, let's say online, social media world, is a direct correlation to your value in the marketplace. Well, let's go 101. So Jim Rohn, number one, I love Jim Rohn. Okay. So Jim Rohn says you're paid for your value in the marketplace. That was in the 80s, right? So what's your value back then? It was good old fashioned, you know, going to Chamber of Commerce meetings and knowing people and the value of your network. You probably heard of that, right? Back in the day, as I was, went to good old fashioned Rotary meetings like that. But nowadays your value in the marketplace is directly correlated to the amount of content and the quality of content that's out there with your specific opinion. There's a correlation to that. There's like a graph to that. So when people are sitting there like, well, I'm on LinkedIn or I'm on social media, kinda, and I'm in this expert in this field. I'm like, well, where can I see that you're an expert? Where can I consume you as an expert on some level? Do you have videos? Do you have white papers? Do you have this? Do you have that? And the answer usually is no. I'm like, well, your value in the marketplace is low then, until you can get your value in the marketplace up. So in the university setting, in the the faculty setting, they have white papers and all kinds of things that they actually show their value by all the different researchers and things like that. You and I mean, I'm not in that world, the faculty or university world, so I have no clue. But inside their circle, right, inside their world, there's specific faculty members around the country that are known by their research. It's the same concept, though. It's just now it's on public online. So the more value you want in the marketplace, aka more influence, aka make more money, you need to be able to add more content in the world. Hope that made sense.
It did. Absolutely.
And you're doing that now. You're creating networks. You're creating people. You're connecting people. That's adds value in the marketplace, right? That is all value in the marketplace.
Okay. Period. Okay, so as a final comments, how would you like to offer folks to come and sign up for something?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a couple of things they can do. They can go to sexybossinc.com, and then I'm also giving away free chapters of my book. They can text the word Heather to 72,000. That's Heather to 72,000, and with that, they actually get a free chapter of my book.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And you also, for if anybody wants to do these things in podcasts and get into the circuit of being a guest, you've got a really, it's only 99 cents, your Kindle book on how to be a good media guest. So
yes, it is. I need to change that.
Well, I got it before you changed it.
Right. I'm like, wait, is it still 99 cents? I changed that. Yeah, it is. But there is actually some videos out there. I teach people how to be better guest in media. Yeah. Give yourself your views. Yeah. So thanks. I'm looking in my head like, oh my God, is it really 99 cents? I need to change. Probably will be changed by the time this goes out.
And then they have to go subscribe to your YouTube or go do your text thing, and then they'll get a chapter. So.
And all my social media is under Heather Havenwood. So I'm really heavy on Instagram and LinkedIn. Those are my two big ones. So if you want to connect with me or see what I'm up to, it's really Heather Havenwood at Instagram. And just want to share real quick, if you don't mind, do I have like a minute?
I think so. I'm not sure if it's going to shut us down here or not, how this works exactly. We run out of time, or we just continues going over. So
okay, I'll go like
we'll give it a shot. More seconds. It's still recording right now, so we're good.
So one of the things that I've been doing lately, and just as a woman, like I just did a huge boudoir photo shoot, you know, and I share about that because I want every woman to experience themselves as feeling sexy no matter what. Cause there is kind of this view, if you're an artist, you can show your body. If you're a model, you can, but if you're in business, it's like this whole taboo thing. And I think that there's starting to be an understanding of like being able to tap into your wholeness of who you are as an entrepreneur, no matter what. So I just want to share that with you, and it's on Instagram, and I share my story around it and why I did it and why I want more women to step into that power of owning who they are on all areas of their life, not just like their mindset, right? But all areas of their life. It's really important.
And you have a video on YouTube talking about getting into that or
getting into
that or something like that.
I do have one of those. I have a few of those actually, because I've been so ashamed. People have shamed me for so long. You can be boss, but you can't be sexy. And so there's this like, yes, you can be both. You really can have it all. You really can step into that power. The book Think Conquer Rich tells you that you can. And I want to be hopefully, you know, an opening of a path to be able to do that. You don't have to be Beyonce or J-Lo to be sexy.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that permission.
Yes. You're welcome. You have full permission to be sexy.
All right. As we wrap up again, you can get everything about me at KarenRands.co, and also my social media other than my Instagram is Compassionate Capitalist is under Karen Rands as well. And I want to remind everybody to go to sexybossinc.com or heatherhavenwood.com, and also to text Heather to 72,000 so you can get a copy of one of her chapters of her book. So
Thanks. Thank
you very much for being on the show, Heather. It's been delightful, and I look forward to so much more to come.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, great.